Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour, taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines here at the top of the hour, and, you know what that means. Plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you've got a question about a scripture passage, maybe there's something you heard in church recently, or perhaps you've got a personal problem going on in your life right now, in your marriage, with your kids, in your church, whatever it might be, you're looking for that grace-based perspective. Well, that's exactly why we're here for the next half hour for you. So go for it. 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. If you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but it's been a while. Well, it's time to pick up the phone and give us a call again. We'd love to hear from you as well. Again, that number with two open lines right now, a rare opportunity with very little wait, 877-655-6755. Well, just a reminder, we are listener supported by listeners like you. If you enjoy what you're hearing tonight and every weeknight on this station, we could use your support as we seek to reach even more people with the love and grace of God. You can go to our website to partner with us. That website is andrewfarley.org. We are a nonprofit Christian media ministry, and that means that your gift is tax deductible in the United States and in Canada. Again, that website, andrewfarley.org, and you click on the donate tab there. It takes just a couple of minutes to partner with us, and let me tell you, it opens all kinds of doors. It means the world to me as I get to see invitations coming in, and we make decisions based on how much support we've got coming. And so there's new radio stations, there's new web platforms, all kinds of opportunities to reach even more people with this grace of God. And I gotta tell you, it's a privilege, it's an honor to share this message. Go to our website and help us do it at andrewfarley.org. All right, let's start out in Columbus, Ohio, and we'll talk with Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing there, Andrew?
Hey, good.
Listen, I wanted to see if you could clarify some things for me.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 24, where Paul was talking about God hardens, who's hardened. He hardens the heart that he will, and some he won't. I'm going to have you clarify that for me, please.
Sure. Yes, Mark. Great question. You know, this relates to the idea of predestination. People have said that predestination is about individuals, that God has chosen certain individuals, that he's gone down the city street next to your house, Mark, and next to my home, and he said things like, well, I'll take this guy, but not that guy, and for this guy, heaven, and for that guy, hell, and I'm going to pre-choose some of your neighbors, and some of them I'm going to leave out. And fortunately, you're chosen, Mark, but I'm sorry about your next-door neighbor on the left. He has no chance because he was not predestined. In fact, some people think, well, God has even hardened that person. And this is one of those passages that many people have used to justify the idea of individual selection, that God has pre-selected certain individuals to believe, thereby causing them to believe, and then others he has either looked over or caused them to reject by hardening their hearts. Now, of course, that's not the truth of the gospel. We know very clearly throughout the New Testament, it says things like, God desires that none should perish and that all believe. God wants everyone to come to repentance. What is the invitation? Well, the invitation is whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. As far as hardening your heart, well, Hebrews says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Now that's talking about hardening your own heart. You've got a decision to make. If you hear the gospel, don't dig your heels in. Don't bury your head in the sand. Don't harden your heart against the message. Instead, today is the day of salvation. Whoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. So go ahead, call upon the Lord, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who is the invitation for? Well, Paul says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And then he begs, he pleads, he implores you, be reconciled to God. Choose him. So there's an open invitation. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to believe. So what in the world is going on in Romans chapter 9? Great question, Mark. Appreciate your call tonight. You know, this passage is essentially talking about Jews and Gentiles. And when we realize that, it makes all the difference. You know, in the Old Testament, sure, God could do whatever he wanted. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Well, that was God's choice. He could have loved both Jacob and Esau. He could have hated both Jacob and Esau, but he was calling the shots. And Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. So, what shall we say then? Well, the point of this passage is, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So notice that this passage, even as he uses Jacob and Esau as an example, his point here is that I can do whatever I want. I'm God. I call the shots, and I will have mercy and compassion on whomever I want. Now, why would he take this line of argumentation? What's his point? Well, he's trying to say, look, if I want to have mercy on the dirty, rotten Gentiles, if I want to save Gentile people, if I want to save Romans, if I want to save Greeks, if I want to save Africans, if I want to save Europeans, if I want to save Asians, well, that's my prerogative. I am God and you are not, and I call the shots. And that is the logic of Romans chapter 9. That's why he says it does not depend on human desire or effort. He says that meaning that I will have mercy and compassion on whomever I want. And then he says, who are you to blame me? And why does God still blame us? I mean, that's the logic here. We've got the potter and the clay example. You know, if I want to make vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy, if I want to preserve some and destroy others, I can call that shot. It's my shot to call. I am God and you are not. Now, who are the vessels of mercy? That would be Israel. And then who are the vessels of wrath? Well, that would be the Gentiles. They were the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. And so then he goes on and he quotes Hosea. He says, I will call them my people who are not my people. Well, historically, who was not God's people? Historically, the Gentiles were not God's people. Now, if he wants to call them his people, he can do so. And it goes on, and it says that Israel's unbelief, you know, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. So I would say this, if you want to understand Romans 9, and I know you like verses 1 to 24 there as the object of your question, I would say keep reading, especially to verses 30 and 31, because in verse 30, we see his whole point. In verse 30, he says, "What then shall we say?" Now, anytime Paul says that, he is revealing his purpose. What shall we say? That Gentiles who didn't chase after righteousness found it. Well, that's his point. God can do whatever he wants. God can have mercy on whomever he wants. God calls the shots. We don't. We shouldn't call his authority into question. What did he do in all of his knowledge and authority? He decided to bring the gospel to Gentiles, to Greeks and Romans and Africans and Asians and Europeans and North Americans and South Americans, so that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And the Jews would have cried out and they would have said, "But God, you, Yahweh, you belong to us. We are your law keepers. We have the heritage. We have the lineage. We have the right to claim you as our God. Why would you save Gentiles? They're second-class citizens. They're dirty and they're rotten, and they never pursued you. We had the law, and they did not." Well, again, verse 30 and 31, Paul says, "The Gentiles who did not chase righteousness have obtained it." And then he says, "But the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal." And so it goes on to talk about how Jesus is a stumbling stone, and nobody who believes in him will ever be put to shame. And that's basically Romans 9 in a nutshell. If you look at the potter and the clay analogy, the potter does whatever he wants, and that's the point. When you look at Jacob and Esau, God did whatever he wants, and that's the point. And now today, through the new covenant, God is doing whatever he wants. And thank God, it's a beautiful thing. Here's what God wants. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he begins to draw all men, not just Jews, but all people unto himself. The Jews and the Gentiles, there is no distinction. There is no partiality. Neither Jew nor Greek, we're all one in Christ. That is the new covenant invitation. He tore down the dividing wall, as Ephesians says. The dividing wall was the law which separated the Jew from the Gentile. There is no more wall between us. We're all one in Christ. Whosoever calls will be saved. God wants none to perish, all to believe, everyone to come to repentance. He is God. He gets to call the shots. And through the new covenant, we see this beautiful invitation that is all-encompassing, because Jesus Christ died for the whole world, not just the Jews. And so that's the meaning of Romans 9, Mark. I want to put you back on and see if that helps bring some clarity. Does that help?
Yes, indeed it does. I want to thank you very much.
All right, Mark. Well, thanks for your call tonight, and we'd love to hear from you anytime. Let's go to California now, and we'll talk with Stephen. Hey, Stephen.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for taking my call. Hope you're doing great.
Yes.
I just had a question. This is based on Galatians 5, where Paul says that walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yes.
My question is, does walking in the Spirit mean an effort to obey Christ's second commandment to love one another as he loved us? And is that an effort that we have to put in and walk in the Spirit, or is it something that's automatic? If you could please share, that'd be great. Thank you.
Sure, yeah. No, I would not describe it that way, Stephen. It sounds like, if you've heard something like that, they're basically saying put love first and then everything else is just going to happen. And try to love first, to work at loving, make an effort to love people as God loves you, and then boom, everything is just going to happen for you. I don't think we want to say love or trying to love people is step one. No, step one is dependency on Christ. And you say, okay, but how do I do that? And we say, okay, by faith. And you say, okay, but how does that happen? Is it a feeling? And we say no. And then is it an emotional experience? We say no. Well, what is it? What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? And of course, I do want to clarify that the best way to express this is walk by the Spirit. Not walk in the Spirit, but walk by the Spirit. And you say, well, why is that a big deal? Because Christians need to know that they are already in the Spirit. We are in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We are in Christ, not in Adam. And now we have a choice every second, every day, every hour, every year of our lives, throughout the rest of our lives, to choose to walk by the Spirit or walk by the flesh. Now, even when we walk by the flesh, we are in the Spirit. And that's very important. Our location does not change. You're in the Spirit saved, or you're in the flesh lost. You're in Christ saved, or you're in Adam lost. And there is no middle ground. And so every Christian is in the Spirit. We're taught this in Romans 8. It says you're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed God's Spirit dwells in you. So for God's Spirit to be in you is the same as you being in God's Spirit. So as far as that word in, that refers to a permanent location for you as a child of God. You are always enveloped in God Himself. The Bible says, Jesus said it Himself, whoever believes in me, we will come and we will make our house in that person. So the entire Trinity is pleased to have you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, wherever you go, there's four of you. You're never alone. And that's a beautiful thing, to be hidden with Christ in God, as Paul puts it, hidden with Christ, enveloped, sealed up with Christ in God. That is the safest place you can possibly be. Now, as far as walking by the Spirit, that's a choice. It's an attitude of dependency, of trust, in the indwelling Christ. I mean, Christ lives in us for a reason. Christ gave His life for us on the cross. Then He gave His life to us at salvation. And now He wants to live His life through us every second of the day. How does that happen? Well, when we, by faith, remember to acknowledge that we're one with Christ, that we're united with Him, that we are new creations, that we're in Him and He's in us. And so when we choose to just act that way and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to act as if I'm a new creation. I'm going to act as if I've got a new heart. I'm going to act as if I've got a new spirit. I'm going to act as if I'm perfectly clean and perfectly close to you. Why would I act that way? Because it's the truth. Because it's real. Because it's reality. Anything else is fiction or fantasy. Nobody is partially close to God. You're either united with Christ or you're not. Nobody is partially clean before God. Either all your sins are taken away or none of them are taken away. And by the way, I think it's high time that Christians teach this and proclaim it and celebrate it more clearly, that nobody is a partially forgiven person. You are either in Adam, unforgiven, or in Christ, perfectly forgiven. You are either in Adam, separated from God, or in Christ, perfectly united with Him. So we are not inching closer, and we are not getting cleaner progressively. It's called the finished work of Christ for a reason. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And this gospel is an invitation for us to celebrate the fullness of what Jesus did for us. And so when I act like Jesus really did something, that's walking by the Spirit. When I act like Jesus made me one, when I act like Jesus made me clean, when I act like Jesus made me close, when I look to Him in the moment for the words and the attitudes and the actions so that I am led by Him, and yet I'm being myself at the same time. That's what walking by the Spirit really is. Walking by the Spirit and living from your heart are the same thing. Why? Because you've got a new heart. You're not in conflict. You're not an obstacle. You're an instrument. And when we realize this, it absolutely revolutionizes our understanding of who God is and how good He is. Because see, if walking by the Spirit is foreign to me, if walking by the Spirit is me pretending, if walking by the Spirit is me faking it, if walking by the Spirit is me grinning and bearing it and gritting my teeth, well, then God's done a dirty trick on me. He has told a sinner to try to act like a saint. He has told a dirty, distant sinner to try to act like a clean and close saint. In other words, He's told me to fake it. But do you realize what He's done? When He says you're born of the Spirit, that you're born of God, that you're born again, that you're a partaker of the divine nature, that you're one spirit with the Lord, Paul says. When we realize this, then we begin to see, are you ready for it? Here it is. We begin to see that we are a perfect fit with Jesus. And my friend, that is one of the most valuable things you can ever learn and know and remember. That you are a perfect fit with Jesus Christ. That you don't have to get out of His way. That it's not all of Him and none of you. No, sir. It is all of Him and all of you together in a beautiful union. Then the idea of walking by the Spirit is not foreign or far off or weird. It is simply learning who you are in Jesus Christ and then waking up every day and simply being yourself, living from the heart, trusting Jesus, and being yourself. And from that is going to flow all of that fruit of the Spirit. It's going to happen as we depend on Him. But no, we don't want to select one attribute. Oh, today I'm going to work on joy. Oh, tomorrow I'll work on gentleness. Well, by Wednesday, you're going to need to be working on humility as you start bragging about all your joy and bragging about all your gentleness. You're going to need to be working on humility by Wednesday. Do you see it? I mean, any religion could tell you to work on certain attributes and follow certain principles. It's not about a principle. It's about a person. And so, it's not about rules. It's about letting Christ rule. Big difference. I hope this has been helpful to you, my friend. Reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. Let's go to New York for just a minute. We've got L. Turner there. Hi, L. Turner.
Yes, I have a problem.
Okay.
My wife.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I know my wife left me 10 months ago.
Yes.
And I'm a born again Christian.
Yes.
And I'm waiting by faith. I'm waiting for her to come back.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand. First of all, I want to thank you for trusting us with your question. We've only got a minute left in the broadcast. I want to do more than that for you. So I'm going to ask you to hang on the line. First, I want to send you a resource called The Hurt and the Healer. I believe it'll be helpful to you right now in your situation with your wife. It'll be encouraging to you. It is a book essentially like meeting with a counselor as you discover how God's Word meets the need of your heart. You're going through a lot of pain. You feel rejected. You feel abandoned right now. I get it. I also want to make myself available to you, my friend. So hang on the line there. I want to give you my personal email so that we can interact together and see if I can't get you some further help as well. So thank you so much for reaching out to us tonight, trusting us with your question. We will seek to do what we can to take care of you, my friend, and encourage you however we might do so. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. Join us tomorrow at this same time.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.